Welcome back to the Sort of Success Weekly podcast, quick tips to grow your business using speaking. My guest today is Jennifer Corso, an employment law attorney in the Cleveland area. Hi, Jennifer. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thanks, Pat. I'm glad to be here.
Great. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what it is that you do exactly?
Well, I'm an attorney. I have been an attorney for over 25 years now, which is a crazy number once I start thinking about it. I do employment and labor law from the management side. The firm I work with is Petronzio Schnair. We are a small business law firm located in Lyndhurst, and I handle the employment law matters for all of our small business clients. Okay. And I should say, when I say small business, I really mean small business. Many of my clients have a handful of employees, maybe 10 or 20. The vast majority of my clients have less than 50 employees. We have a few bigger ones, but really, truly, we are small business here.
Okay, perfect. Perfect. So how do you use speaking to grow your business?
I've been speaking for well over a decade as a part of my marketing plan. Mm-hmm. And I do it for two reasons. One, I really like it. I really enjoy getting out in front of groups and talking about employment law. I'm a lawyer who really likes my job, and I love the area that I practice, and I groove on it, and so I just have fun talking about it. So I've already been doing it for about 10 years. So I do a couple types of speaking. One is more or less marketing, speaking, you know, for chambers of commerce or business groups, professional groups, things of that sort, where there's a room full of people who could be a client of mine. Mm-hmm. The other type of speaking I do, and I do this at least 2 to 3 times a year, is I teach seminars for it's CLEs, continuing legal education credits. So I'm usually in a room full of attorneys at that point, but it's still marketing to some extent, but it's also staying up to date. Mm-hmm. I do some CLE credits also for HR people, and that again is really good marketing.
Yeah. So how do you convert those speaking engagements into clients?
Well, for lawyers, it's a little harder because we have rules built into our professional ethics about solicitation. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm in a room full of business owners, I can't just walk up to them and go, hey, you need to hire me, you know, or I know I can help you out, because that's a direct solicitation. And we are not supposed to do that.
Okay.
So for me, the speaking engagements are the soft sell. I only semi-joke about this, but usually when I'm talking about topics, you know, whether it's how to hire or fire an employee, or maybe workers' comp issues or social media issues, you know, usually about 10 minutes into my presentation, there is a look over the room where everybody's face is just like,
oh no.
At that point, I know I have a few clients sitting there. So I do have to wait for them to come to me though. Usually for me, I try and do some sort of giveaway when I do speaking engagements. It all depends on how organized I happen to be at that moment in time. So if I do, I get everybody's business card. Okay. Just because I have a business card doesn't mean you're ending up on my mailing list. I don't go to everybody, but at least I know this is somebody I might want to tell I'm doing a seminar or a webinar the next week. Mm-hmm. So it's changed a little, of course, COVID. Now we're not doing anything in person. Now everything's webinars. But at that point, I already have captured all that information anyways.
Okay, so how does that work when you do a webinar? Are you doing it yourself and attracting the people to come to the webinar?
Luckily, no, because I am technologically inept.
Okay.
So I am very lucky that the webinars that I've done, and I've done several of them since the shutdown in March, that other groups have come to me. The SBDC, Chamber of Commerce, and then I do a series of webinars with an HR group that I've been affiliated with for about a decade called Your Partner in HR. And we've been doing 2 webinars a month on various topics. And there's always at least a snippet of me doing a legal update or something legal within it. It's not 100% me.
Yeah.
But with those groups, they capture all this information through the registration process and then they share it with me.
Oh, they do. Okay. And then how do you follow up with the people that you have their email addresses?
It's a little different for me right now. Again, I like to wait until they come to me. If I have email addresses and I know I'm doing a webinar that I think they'll be interested in, I will put them on that specific list, but I try not to just put them on a general e-blast because that just starts diving into that area of solicitation that I'm not entirely comfortable with. So if somebody says, yes, tell me when you're doing the next one, it's easy. They go on a list. If somebody has specific questions for me during the webinar, whether it's written in a chat or verbal during a Q&A session, then I'll jot down who they are. And a lot of times I will follow up with them. I'll send them an email. Hey, I hope I answered your question fully. If you've got any more questions, please let me know.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So back to the live ones. How do you capture the email addresses? So you do a giveaway and you get their business cards and then you just put them on the list to send them the information about upcoming webinars. Is that you do same process?
I'm selective, yes. Because of the limitations as an attorney I have on solicitation of clients, I'm very selective as to who I'll put onto a mailing list. And I will only choose the ones that I think are relevant to my client base, are relevant to the information that I'm giving out. Within the presentations that I do invite people to follow me. I've got a business Facebook page. Don't follow me personally. That's like, you know, basically family and friends only, but you know, I have a business Facebook page, link to me on LinkedIn. That's another thing I do. I have less hesitation with that. If I have a bunch of business cards, I am more likely to link into people than to directly email them with something.
Yeah. That's a really great idea. So when you send them a message to link up on LinkedIn, do you say, hey, remember me, I just did this presentation. Are you doing it quickly afterwards so that they'll know?
I try. Sometimes it's not as quick as I'd like. Uh-huh. If I have a personal conversation with them, I always put that in the LinkedIn introduction part. It was great talking to you at the seminar on Tuesday. Please link up with me, you know, but otherwise, sometimes, honestly, I will admit, sometimes I just do the quick ones. So it really all depends.
Yeah, absolutely. And so how does this tactic work for you? Are you getting clients from speaking?
Yes, I was very lucky when I spent a year as a true solo when I was between firms. And this was back in 2009, 2010. Mm-hmm. And I hooked up with a local bank. They were my business bank. Uh-huh. And when they said, how can we help you with your business? I said, hey, would you like to do some seminars for your business banking clients? And they said, yes.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I had a $1 billion bank putting my name on their letterhead. Wow. And that was the best way I started with my own personal client list. I got easily 5 or 6 clients from each seminar I did with that series because it was just this prime group. And since then, I know if I walk into a room full, especially of business owners, I am almost guaranteed to get at least 1 or 2 clients out of that speaking engagement. Mm-hmm. So it might not be right then because not everybody needs me immediately.
Yeah.
But I get calls 2 months, 4 months, 6 months down the line. It's almost without fail.
Yeah, that's awesome. I really love that idea about the bank and partnering with the bank. That was a really great idea, especially at that time of the economy.
Yeah.
So, what a good idea.
I've partnered with accounting firms to do the same thing so that they have a value added aspect for their clients. I bring this up with anybody that I can that I meet in the business world that has, that we share a client base.
Yeah.
Because it's great that they can add a freebie. I don't charge for these. So they can just offer it up to their clients for free.
Yeah, that is a really great idea. How would you say someone should approach if they wanted to go partner with the bank? I know because of your legal expertise, you're bringing this particular information to their business banking clients, for example, but so let's say someone who is a coach of some type, how would they go about approaching not necessarily just a bank, but let's use the bank as an example.
Well, the bank as an example, I was lucky. I had a relationship with my business banking manager. Mm-hmm. She had come to seminars that I had done through the chambers of commerce. She was a fellow NABO member at the time. She was the bank's rep for the NABO meeting. So I knew her on a couple of different levels. So when she said, how can we help you? I knew she meant it. Yeah. So I don't think I could just walk into a bank and offer it. Yeah. I think you have to have that personal relationship there. So build that relationship if you don't already have it. If you have the relationship, make the ask. I go by the motto, you do not get if you do not ask. So you have to ask. And it might happen. It might happen at a later date, or maybe they say no. You never know, but it doesn't hurt to ask.
Yeah.
You got to build that relationship. You've got to make sure they know what you can do. So if you know a banker that you don't have that relationship with, if you are doing another speaking engagement, invite them to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if they come as your guest. So, and then you say, this is what I could offer to your clients.
Yeah, that's a really great strategy. And it's a really good point too about being out there, meeting people in different avenues, yeah. like at chambers meetings or at NABO meetings or whatever it is that you participate in. That's really great advice. So one thing that I always ask everybody who's on the podcast with me is to tell me what you think are three traits that people need to have in order to be good at using speaking as a marketing tactic.
Three traits. Okay. So first of all, you have to be knowledgeable. You have to know your stuff. That's without question, because people know when you're BSing.
Yeah.
People know when you're just reading off note cards because you can't speak off of it off the top of your head.
Yeah.
And nobody out there wants PowerPoint slides read to them.
Yeah.
So you have to be knowledgeable. Again, I've been doing this for 25 years. There have been a whole lot of new laws that have come in since March. Everything else in labor employment law has been around for a long time. It's great. I know it. So that's the first thing. Second is, you have to be current. I don't care what your topic is. If you're not giving the most current new information, if you're not telling that audience something new, mm-hmm. you're going to lose them.
Mm-hmm.
So with me, sometimes my old information is new information for these business owners. Hey, did you know there's really not a law that says you have to give people 2 15-minute breaks a day? I never knew that. I've owned a company for 30 years and I've always given them 2 15-minute breaks. Not a lot. So luckily my old is new to some people, but if you're in marketing, social media, things like that, it's got to be new. And then the last thing is, I think this is important, at least for my subject matter. I've got to make it entertaining, you know, and I'm not talking going up there and making balloon animals or whatever, you know, but it's my subject matter can be very dry. And so I have to incorporate war stories. I do a lot of audience interaction. Mm. I ask for what I call hypotheticals.
Yeah. Asking for a friend.
Right, exactly. And this is honestly why I don't tape most of my seminars, mm-hmm. because I want people to feel free to ask freely without things being recorded, to be quite honest. Some of it is the audience participation that makes it entertaining, keeps people awake. Some of it is the fun war stories, the really weird, wacky things that go on in the world of employment, because I call it the world of sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I get it all. For that, you know, entertaining is going to mean different things for different people.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
that's where I'm at.
Those are three really great ideas. Thank you so much. And thanks so much for being with me today. It was really fun talking to you. And I think you got lots of great information that people can use.
It was fun. It was fun. As you can see, I like what I do.
You can tell. Okay.
Thanks, Pat.
Thanks so much. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Connect with Jennifer on LinkedIn. That's Jennifer Corso, Corso. Thank you for listening to the Sort of Success Grow Your Business with Speaking weekly podcast. For more information about using speaking as a marketing strategy, visit pataltbader.com.